Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Tuesdays with Neil. Sir, welcome.
I made it. I'm here.
I knew you would.
If I'm not, yeah, it was a crazy thing about running errands and just missed the call, but we're good. I'm all set here.
Well, first of all, you are as dependable as a Swiss watch. I mean, really, you are our Rolex.
Never been called a Rolex before. I can hear my dad laughing about that now. That's not the impression he would have given you. I promise you.
I come from a different perspective.
Is something I had to learn.
Okay. I come from a different perspective. How about that?
I will make sure the family heard that. They will appreciate
yes,
it.
Very much so.
I will appreciate it. Thank you.
The bizarre continues to happen. I expected them to win, but they keep winning. I'll say they also scored on their first drive again, second straight week.
And it was an impressive drive. Might have been their best drive of the season overall. That one against the Rams was pretty good, but the depth and the versatility that they're adding now, I think that, above anything else, is really the eye-popping thing. Obviously, this is not an offense that you can expect to score, you know, four touchdowns a game or anything like that, but they're capable of eating some possession, running some stuff that a defense is not going to be fully prepared for. And I got to say, a large chunk of it seems to me like that the insertion of Broderick Jones at right tackle, the athleticism that he brings, is opening up both their zone and their gap schemes. And the way that they're using that is it's a different wrinkle every week. We're seeing different things when he's in there. I'm not sure if that means you can pin it on either Dan Moore, who we replaced once, or Chukwuma Okorafor, who he's replacing now. But Jones being in there, you're seeing a high-level athlete playing pretty well in the run game, and that is opening everybody else up. You know, it seems like he's kind of the catalyst. I know how weird that is to say about an offensive lineman, but he's doing stuff that Trent Williams is doing, you know, in San Francisco, and it's a lot of fun to watch. And you're seeing a versatile Steelers running game kind of rising like a phoenix out of the ashes here. They're capable of running the ball. We haven't really said that ever this season, and it took them half the year to get kind of good last year, and they ended the year very effectively. You're seeing that in Pittsburgh now. Like, they have an offensive identity, and with that, they're capable of winning games. I mean, they're probably a little bit better than Green Bay. I don't know by how much better. Mm-hmm. Kind of like what you alluded to. I don't know how, you know, they should have won this game. This is one that they really needed to win and should have won and did. Probably got a little bit closer than you would have wanted it to be. But the return of Minkah Fitzpatrick, which is imminent, that'll happen eventually, I think is going to fix a lot of things within their secondary. And I don't know how many teams they're going to beat, but I know that they're going to be a very tough team to beat when they have everything going. And I know how cliche that sounds, but they make people beat themselves, you know, and that's really what right. they did to Green Bay. And it seems like that's going to be their strategy from here on out.
Pat Freiermuth, doors open for him being back. What can he add?
He might even be a bigger return than Minkah in the sense that you're going to have a solid short field receiver who has blocking ability as well. Right now, whatever trio of tight ends they're putting out there, none of them can catch, and none of them are particularly good run blockers to this point. Freiermuth is going to be better than all of them in all of that. But the experience that you're getting with Washington, with Hayward, with Williams when he's in there, you're going to have a nice, you know, assortment of tight end packages that you can run within this, you know, increasingly versatile ground game. And Freiermuth can catch the ball. You know, this is, you know, Pickett completed 14 passes last week. This is like 1983 football. A solid seam target can open up, you know, that infamous 13 to 18 yard range as far as the passing game goes. It's going to expand their RPO game, which is almost non-existent at this point. There's a lot of things Freiermuth is going to bring upon his return, and I would argue that they have not had him pretty much all season. He's been out there, he's been dressed, he's caught a ball or two, but they haven't had the peak Pat Freiermuth, the guy that you expected to get 100 targets this season for the Steelers. When you have that in there, it's a better receiving option, I think, overall, certainly in the short space, than what they've been able to manufacture. And when you get that RPO game going, those pop passes over the middle, the seam stuff down the middle, that opens stuff up on the outside. And I think the offense is going to be able to push back on a defense a little bit more than just playing the kind of swinging gate thing that they've been doing, particularly in the passing game.
Okay. Johnson being back in the lineup, what has that meant? You and I talked about this last week because he's actually a better, as inconsistent as I personally think he is, he's still a better player at this stage than Pickens. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I expected more, I guess, from Johnson. And to be fair, you kind of have to grade both Johnson and Pickens on a bit of a curve because the passing game is just a mess. I mean, we're not seeing. Every game, Pickett is missing open targets consistently. Mm-hmm. You know, he's completing 14, he's missing on 9, and of those 9 incompletions, I honestly feel like 4 or 5 of them a game are just simply bad throws, passes that should have been completed. Johnson's going to feel the effects of that, certainly statistically. His impact on the game is not present at all. He had one catch. You know, that's not, in my opinion, it's not because Johnson can't get open. He's able to get open. They're not scheming their receivers open enough. That's the major criticism that I would have of the offense. They don't work. They don't do enough to get the receivers running in concert with one another, running combo routes, things of that nature to, you know, let your receivers try to make a play. They're just kind of throwing them in one place, take it or leave it. You know, they're not doing anything with them to try to open them up. And your quarterback is not throwing the ball accurately enough for yards after the catch. And we've talked about this the last 3 years. The ball isn't going in a place where the receiver can catch it and turn and run. They're not open enough, which you might put on them. But some of that is a late delivery from a mid arm strength quarterback. They're not being put in position to succeed as much. I think because of that, Johnson is not the impact player that I thought he would be. We'll see, though. I think there are some, you know, probably some miscommunication, some inability against Green Bay that we didn't quite anticipate. We'll see what happens against a vastly better defense in Cleveland. Not that Green Bay has a bad defense, but Cleveland's is really good. They're going to have to get Johnson the ball if they want to be consistent in running it the way that you have to assume that they're going to. There's going to be plays that Pickett is going to have to deliver a good pass to Johnson, who's going to have to get open. They're going to have to make plays after the catch as well. There's a lot riding on Johnson going into this game, but as far as a comparison to him and Pickens, it's not even close. I mean, Johnson is a pro. He's got 400 some odd targets more than Pickens does in his career, and that gap is probably going to continue to expand because Pickens, he's not nuanced enough yet as a route runner. He's not all that hard to cover. It's great that he can make the highlight reel catches and everything, but the one thing you'll notice is he is almost always covered whenever they get him the ball. There's a reason for that. He's not getting himself open, but he's also young. So I wouldn't expect him to be better than Deontay Johnson right now. There's more work that he needs to do, and I would expect him to continue to do it. You know, hopefully the sulkiness part of his game goes away after a bit. And I get that you're frustrated if that's, you know, all that you're getting the ball, but They'll call his number. He'll be in a position to make a play, and you hope that he's able to make it when they do.
All right. So yeah, let me talk about the Pickens part for a moment. I think there's an assumption that certain guys can just get out there in a straight line blow by somebody. You can't do that in the NFL. You have to be able to make a move, whether it's a double, something subtle, just to give yourself that additional step, and then with a burst you can get past somebody. It seems like as a young receiver, he doesn't quite have that yet.
I'd go a step farther and say he needs to do it, but not even necessarily on the play in question. He needs to show that he can run a slant before a cornerback is going to be worried about a move to the inside. That's where the route running part takes more of an effect. Johnson, when you see Johnson get open, Johnson's like 3 yards open on a lot of fly routes. And it's not because Johnson has world-class speed. It's not because he's insanely quick. It's because they are so afraid of him, his footwork, him cutting back, him running digs, him running unders, things like that. And he can put a subtle move, and they assume that he's going there, and he's going to get himself open over the top. Pickens doesn't really run much right now. Everyone's going to yell at the offensive coordinator. It's not that simple. You can't call stuff that you know doesn't work. You know, just he's not a video game character. It's not all one and the same. He's got to be able to do it. And if they're not calling him to do it, it's because he's not showing that he can do it. I'd make this comparison. I think we've said this in the past. One thing that got us really excited about Martavis Bryant back in 2015 was the fact that they were calling slants for him, hitches. He was running professional-level routes. Mm-hmm. That made him even more dangerous over the top because now it's like this is not a one-trick pony guy anymore. Mm-hmm. Now he can catch you in a skinny post after 5 yards. You have to be aware of that as a cornerback. That makes it a lot harder to keep that cushion, stay on top of him, and be in position if he breaks. That slows the cornerback down just enough that you can get outside him and go. Pickens doesn't have that yet. Or at the very least, we know that he's not running those routes particularly often. But I will say they're struggling quite a bit to get the ball down the field. It doesn't look to me in all 22 angle, it doesn't look to me like Pickens is really running all that stuff in a way that makes me think they're trying to set something up. That's more of the evolution of his game that needs to take place. And maybe that's, I mean, there's still a lot of season left. We'll see, you know, how it goes. But he's far from a finished product. We know that. He's a great athlete, explosive player, long strider, big play type of guy. He's got to develop that smaller game in order to bring everything out.
You had a weekend where there were, six essential walk-off games? And some of them involved teams that you didn't think were going to lose and did. How tight is this league right now at this point? I mean, I know there's always going to be a couple of exceptional teams, but how tight in reality is the league now?
You know, I just had a conversation with somebody in the league casually yesterday morning about this. And this is, you know, obviously pre-Bills Broncos. The sense in the NFL is not that there are, you know, no good teams. It's that the bottom level is kind of the same. The mid-level is expanded. Those middle group teams are a lot better than they have been in the past. And because of that, nobody's really pulling away. I mean, I think Philadelphia is the top record, right? 8-1.
Yes.
You don't watch Philadelphia and think that this is a world-beating team. You know, they're not destroying everybody they play.
That's right.
They're a very good football team. They're competing. You know, it's hard to beat Philadelphia. Philadelphia's not walking over anybody either. That's your top level. But at this point, you really don't know where it's going to go. But you have pretty, you know, I think it's fair to say, kind of disappointing starts from Cincinnati, from Buffalo. These are teams that are on national TV often enough that you're noticing that they're not winning these games. The lack of Rodgers is, you know, the worst thing that's happened to primetime football, I think, ever.
Oh.
Jets are constantly on. Therefore, they're always a talking point.
Brutal.
And, you know, good for them and for being what they are, but they're not going to be a great team with the quarterback that they have. You know, I think there's maybe a step below where the Steelers are. The Steelers are a good summation of that mid-level, though. This is a difficult team to beat. They might not beat you, but they can make you beat yourself if you allow them to drag you, allow them to drag you down to their level, to play the game in the muck, to throw style points out the window. When you have to swing with them, they're going to beat you, and we've seen it several times already this season. On the whole, overall, are they a good football team? It really doesn't look like it, but they just make you play their way, and it gets frustrating. I think there are a lot of teams that are like that, and the good teams have not yet overcome that. We're not even sure who it is. I'm not even sure who the best team is from what That's I've right. seen to this point. Yeah. You know, certainly Philadelphia is a quality team. I don't know if they're better than Kansas City. I don't know if they're better than Detroit. You know, that's a team that's also very hard to beat. They can beat themselves, but it's just tougher for an opponent to really knuckle down and take them out over four quarters. And it creates, I think, two, you know, kind of conflicting narratives. Is one, it's a boring league. Nobody is good. It's not all that great. These are the preconception going into a game. It's a great game if we think the two teams are really good and it comes down to the wire. It's still a mid game if it's two below average teams that go down to the wire. I think it depends on which side of the fence you're on. I personally find NFL football to be, you know, to some degree good football. You watch the Jets play often enough, you'll be able to challenge what I just said pretty easily, and I get that. But top to bottom, I think Denver played pretty well last night. It wasn't Buffalo's best game, but Denver played pretty well. You got to tip your cap to them and say, you know, just because they're not particularly good doesn't mean they're incapable of playing well here and there on a 17-game season. You know, this isn't college. When you get Penn State versus directional state, Penn State's going to beat them by 30 most of the time, and the other times they're going to win by 15. You know, it's not like that in the NFL. They're much more balanced. The mid-level is a lot closer to the top than people think that they are. You know, there's a couple plays every game make a difference, and some teams make those plays and some teams don't. But I just think it's the rise and the proliferation of the middle class of the NFL right now. They're stealing wins from the what we think to be the upper class probably a bit more often than they have in the past.
Without Aaron Rodgers, I feel like the Jets, this is a waste of a terrific defense. I just feel like it's a waste of a terrific defense based on how they play offense.
Robert Saleh is such a great coach. He's got them going the time, regardless of, I mean, it's never good to lose your starting quarterback, but in a way, it you'd rather have it happen, like in minicamp, than you would four plays into the season,
right?
Especially on the national stage in such an emotionally fired up game at home, prime time. Everybody is watching this game. It's just it was a gut punch. You could see it in Saleh's face. He's not going to tell you that, but that had to be just rough to get through the rest of that game. And they came back and won. That was a great football game. They're playing high-level defensive football. Go back to the last question, too. I might even argue that. You know, maybe we're seeing better defensive football being played. You know, Jim Schwartz has done a phenomenal job in Cleveland. He probably caught one in the chin from Baltimore this past week, but we've seen them play at high level for two, three quarters every game, it seems like. And the Jets are the same way. You know, how do they get four wins out of completely substandard quarterback play? How are they doing that? That's how effective defensive football seems to be this season. And, you know, those are definitely two of the top defenses. They might not even be the best defense, either one of them. A lot of teams are playing really good defense, and you're seeing great individual seasons from a lot of players as well. So I would imagine, you know, you can't fire Saleh after this season. And, you know, every day it's Aaron Rodgers throwing more rhetoric out there about how he's going to play. I don't know whether he'll play or not, but if they had Aaron Rodgers performing even at the level that he was last season, which I didn't feel was particularly good,
right,
you're going to have a real tough time beating them. You know, like if they get into the playoffs with Rodgers, watch out. That's not a team you want to play.
No. Always a pleasure, even if it is, I'm here, I just walked in.
as always, the pleasure is mine. I hope you guys have a good day.
Neil Coulong.